doing this. I don't know if
my... Are we good now? Oh, we're good now.
Oh.
Yay. All right. So on this evening of slasher movie review, we are going to be going over The Possession of Michael King, which is my pick. It's one of my favorite scary movies. Like, I have a couple that I could watch over and over again. It's actually pretty scary in comparison. I thought
it was scary compared to what we've done so far.
Yeah.
I knew that it was scary, and I know I watched it a while back, but watching it again, I mean, there's some good jumps in it and some pretty freaky stuff that happens.
Yeah. So, this does have a couple scenes that might not sit well with people. So I am going to throw out a trigger warning. There's one scene where Michael King, the main character, is talking to a priest.
Just fast forward that whole thing.
Yeah, just fast forward that whole thing. Childhood sexual trauma. Just fast forward
Don't
that.
Don't need it.
Yeah, and then I think that that was the only big one. Like, there is a pet death in there too, but you don't necessarily see anything.
Yeah, you don't see a ton with it. I mean, you know what it is.
You know what happened.
Yeah.
So we'll just jump right in here. The director is David Young, and it was released August 22nd of 2014. The main cast, and there are only like five people in the whole movie.
Yeah.
It's a slim... It's a found footage possession film. Shane Johnson, who plays Michael King, he does a lot of voice acting. Kingdom Hearts 3 and Final Fantasy were the ones that popped out. Kara Pifko, she plays Samantha, also a voice actress. Clone Wars.
Samantha's a sister.
Samantha's his wife.
Wife. Okay.
Mm-hmm. Mass Effect 3, she did some voice acting. Ella Anderson, who plays Ellie, who's the daughter. And then Julie McNiven, who plays Beth, the sister. She was in Stargate and Supernatural.
Oh, who was she in Supernatural?
Anna Milton. She was in like six episodes.
I don't know. So probably one of the Winchester's girlfriends that dies, because that's what happens.
Probably. And then Dale Dickey, I think I'm pronouncing her name right, the demonologist woman, I think her name is Marcia. She plays Martha Bozeman in True Blood.
Yeah, she's in True Blood because I looked her up too because she looked really familiar. Mm-hmm. She's also in Justified.
Yep.
And she is, in Shameless.
Yes.
She's in Shameless too.
Yeah. She's a really good actress.
Yeah, as soon as I saw her, because she's in like the first 10 minutes of it. Like, she's in the beginning pretty quick.
I am getting her and, like, the psychic. Are you talking about the psychic? Or the woman that...
The tarot card reader.
Okay.
That so he sort of blames.
He does blame her, which is so... Whatever.
Okay, back to the beginning.
Yeah.
Back to the beginning.
So then I did get those two women mixed up, but that's okay.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. So this is basically a movie about a guy who wants to disprove or prove the existence of angels or demons. At this point, he doesn't really give a shit which one.
Well, his wife dies. Tragically.
Yeah, and she was a big believer in heaven and hell and angels and all of that stuff, and he was not. And that's pretty evident. Like, he says it right in the beginning.
Yeah. What I thought, too, is the opening scene is like a home video mm-hmm. of them at the park. And who does that? Like, does Mike take videos of you where you're like playing with Cooper in the park? And of course, you're in this like beautiful dress and your hair is done.
Sam is super pretty.
She's super pretty.
But yeah, I don't know.
And then that comes about again later on.
At the end. Where, like, there are flashbacks.
Yeah, there's little flashbacks, and they're, like, home video, because he films everything that he does. And I don't know. I don't just, like, sit on a porch swing all beautiful while Greg records it. Like, me just smiling and posing in a bunch of cute ways. I mean, that would be great, but if you do that, you're kind of destined to die in a tragic way.
It's just written in stone for you. The director did bring this up in a couple interviews that I watched. They wanted a way to have expensive film equipment and have an excuse for it. And so that's why Michael King is a film person. Like, he's a documentary film. I can't say that word right. Documentary. See, there you go. It's like brewery. Some words are super hard for me.
Horror. Exactly.
Right. I can't think about it.
What did she do for a living? Didn't it say?
Sam.
Yeah.
No. No. But she did spend like a lot of their money on going to see a psychic.
Well, they have a pretty nice house, too.
Their house is beautiful.
So they have beautiful this, like, house. Big, beautiful house, and he shoots documentaries.
Yeah. It's unexplained.
Maybe they inherited it. Who knows?
Who knows?
Anyway, they have a really big house.
Gorgeous. But, yeah, so she tragically dies in a car accident. And like, she drops a quarter in the street.
Yeah, she's going to go put money in the meter, and she drops a quarter. And when she looks up, she's getting hit by a car.
Yeah. It's awful. So she goes to see the psychic frequently, and the psychic told her not to go to Europe and to stay home. And so that inevitably, Michael King goes to the psychic and, like, interrogates the psychic. And the psychic is like, oh, like, how's Sam doing? Like, she'll get her big break soon. And Michael's like, yeah, she's dead.
Yeah, she's dead. I thought it was kind of wrong to blame her.
Mm-hmm.
When, I mean, she dropped a quarter in the street. Like, what?
It was a sheer accident. And I think it was just, like, the trauma that he had of losing his wife. Like, I think he just goes. You're, like, laughing.
No, I'm not laughing at that. I'm laughing because I look down at my notes. And sometimes they just crack me up. I said, I like how people have all these amazing videos of their loved ones looking beautiful. Mine are all chugging beer.
Like, on your phone, yeah. Like, a recording.
Woo.
Yeah.
Anyway.
But they are really pretty recordings that are shown throughout the...
And Michael just flat out asks the devil to come.
Yes. Yes. It's so annoying.
He's like, come at me. Like, he videos himself sitting there and he's like, hey, devil, where are you? I don't believe in you. Come and get me.
Yeah. So he sets up cameras all over the place and he hasn't gotten answers from above. So he looks for answers below. And... I have a huge issue with this because he still has a daughter who's young. Like, yeah. She's a young kid. Even if you don't believe in that, why would you even taunt it?
Because you don't believe in it.
That just seems silly to me.
Well, it seems silly to you because you watch all these possession movies and you're afraid of them and kind of believe it.
It terrifies me.
So, you believe in it. So yeah. If you don't believe in heaven or hell or anything like that, you're like, fine, okay. Come and get me.
Come at me, bro.
Oh, my God. I actually wrote that down.
Did you?
Yeah. So this is later on. I'm going to jump ahead and try to find that thing I wrote.
All right.
Sorry.
Come at me, bro. But he really is.
When he's, like, psycho-possessed. He's like starts screaming, why are you doing this? Because you fucking asked me,
because you asked. Right. Dude, you asked me to do this. I am doing it.
You asked me to possess you. Don't you remember like the 500 times you were like, hey.
And he does so many things to try and finally like get a demon in him or whatever he wants. I don't think he expected a demon to actually possess him. Like, I don't think that
he didn't, because he didn't believe in it.
Yeah.
So he was just acting cocky and, like, a lot of...
And an asshole.
People do in horror. They're just, I don't believe in this. I'm going to do what I want. And then...
Like every guy in the Paranormal Activity movies?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I don't believe this. Yeah.
So then there's the... With the priest. So that's... in there. He's interviewing the priest.
Yeah, I think we could probably go over it because we did do like a trigger warning. So, or maybe not.
I could go without it.
Okay, perfect.
Yeah.
So
he hears a terrible story from a priest.
Yeah. Like, he puts an ad online asking for proof of the paranormal. And so this priest, Father Gibbons, who I thought did the actor, and I can't remember the actor's name, did a phenomenal job in this.
Yeah, he did really well.
He's a priest dying of cancer, messages Michael. Michael goes in and interviews him. Here's a terrible story. The priest originally asked from help from angels, and he ends up getting help from the devil or a demon or something. And so he tells Michael, like, don't try to listen to the demon because that's when,
yeah,
when shit will hit the fan, essentially.
Yeah, so, once the demons know that you're listening to them, it's all over.
Yeah. And so there's that. And then he goes and he gets like an online demon summoning kit.
You know, it's supposed to be like exactly like mine. I want to order a demon summoning kit online.
Yes. So he has like a pentagram like candle holder or something. And then he lights a piece of paper summoning a demon of his choosing or something.
Yeah.
He just picks
like a random demon. He once again is like, nothing's going to fucking happen, whatever. And he does this little, I don't know what they're called, like an incantation.
Yeah.
Incantation.
Mm-hmm.
And then he's like, fuck it, blows out the candles. So the whole time I'm waiting, like, okay, when is he going to get possessed? What's happening next?
I have a question, like, after we go over all of the ways that he tried to get possessed, but that's...
And next, he goes and hangs out with that weird couple that chain him up in the basement.
The demonologist couple. Which, so he goes and he visits this couple that are demon summoners. And the couple's just like, you have to create, like, mass chaos around. And you have to, like, lower your sensibility or whatever.
Yeah.
So he takes LSD and he gets strapped to this cross. And the couple has sex.
That was kind of creepy, though. Because there's this, like, pendant light that's shining down on him. And he's all drugged up. He asks how much LSD.
I had to get a hoodie. I'm freezing.
Are we done? No. Bye. Okay, I guess I'll go home.
But.
Okay, are you good? Are you settled now?
I was freezing.
So cold. So they tell him, hey, take this LSD, and they give it to him in like a little Kool-Aid cup or whatever, like a little paper cup.
Yeah.
And he goes, how much LSD? I said, well, enough to see fucking demons.
Well, that,
I don't know how much that is, but...
And they tell him, well, if you're worried about taking LSD, the next shit is going to be crazy. Yeah.
Yeah.
And then they have him do, like, it's not an automated drawing, but it's a drawing where you're not really paying attention.
It's one of the ways to, like, communicate with the beyond, where you just like hold a pen loosely in your hand and you have paper and you just kind of like draw whatever while you're meditating.
Yeah.
Or on LSD.
Well, that's in a couple other movies too. Like, and I want to say
The Conjuring.
Yep.
They do that maybe.
Yeah. It's demon possession movies, I feel like.
Well, yeah.
I don't know which ones specifically, but I know like I've seen it in a couple other scary movies.
So then they like chain him to this big wooden cross thing in the basement, and this light is swinging over his head, and they put on these fucked up masks that look like leather face, like skins.
And it's like screaming. So if you have the volume turned up on your TV, you might want to turn it down during this part because they're like.
Well, they end up like banging on top of him.
Yeah. I always, like, and I love this movie, but I always kind of, like, fast forward that part. I'm like, I don't need
so
to see that.
So weird.
Yeah.
And he's just totally, like, tripping.
And what
out
about
of his, head.
His friend Jordan, who's the video person, the guy that's recording all this stuff?
Yeah, I don't know.
Like, his adventures.
But that, I thought, well, maybe he got possessed then because the screen, like, blinks in and out. But that guy's on drugs, too.
They're all on drugs, man. And I thought it was cool. So going back to the auto writing, he draws a picture of an ant. And so they match.
Was it an ant? I thought it looked like a bat.
It was an ant with, like, antenna. Oh, like
front-facing ant. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And so they match it up with the demon Bahamgor. Bahamgor?
I have no idea.
Whatever. And it's the demon of, like, the name means tortured until madness, breeder of ants, leader of the five legions or nine legions or whatever. So this the guy he drew
was already, like, all about him.
Yeah. I think even... Okay. Yeah.
Because I didn't think he actually got possessed until the next thing
that he does. The necromancy shit. Can we talk about this? Well, we are talking about it.
No, we can't. Skip.
What are you thinking? Where's his daughter? His daughter is, like, 8 or 9. She's young.
The sister's there all the time, though. The sister's there taking care of.
You still have a responsibility...
You can't, like, take drugs that make you feel dead and get teeth sewn into your tummy skin.
Oh, my God. I'm watching this, and I'm like, what about his poor fucking kid?
So he goes to a funeral home, so this guy must have reached out to him, and he took the funeral director.
Mm-hmm. Who's a necromancer.
Who's a necromancer. And I guess, like, probably the main mortician at the place. I don't know. I don't know how any of that works. Anyway, they take teeth out of a fresh corpse, and they numb up Michael's tum, and they sew the teeth, or the necromancer sews the teeth in kind of like a crescent moon shape around his belly button.
And they do this because... that guy's soul, and I wrote the guy's name down. Oh. His name's Robert Sykes, is the guy who's dead that they steal his teeth.
Where did you even... They don't even say that, do they?
Yeah.
Where did... Oh, okay.
It's during, like, that...
Okay, so then he takes this drug that's gonna make him feel like he's dying.
I have a fun fact about that.
What?
So DMT is an actual drug.
Okay.
And it is actually found in the Sorinan Desert toad.
Oh.
Otherwise known as the Colorado River toad. And it does exactly what it says that it does.
Makes him almost die.
Yeah. So it gives you, from what I've read online, is it gives you a more real than real feeling. And you feel like you're dying.
Why?
I don't know.
Why would you want that feeling?
I don't know. But it can be found in the glands of that toad.
Oh.
And smoked or, like, mixed and stuff.
Yeah, so they go out to the cemetery and the necromancer sets up all these stakes with dead toads on them to, like, represents suffering. Is that what he said?
Yeah, so demons and spirits and stuff are drawn to suffering.
Oh. Well, yeah.
So if you really like toads...
Then he almost dies.
Ugh, fast forward that part, too.
Well, I mean, you don't see him actually killing them, but they are, like, dead and gross.
They're on there, though.
I just want to let you know that I'll never let anyone sew teeth to my belly button.
I won't either. We'll shake on that after this.
Oh, so then the cops bust them in the cemetery.
Yeah, and Michael, like, Jordan, his friend, can't find him anywhere. And he goes into a tomb, and Michael is standing there in the corner with Robert's clothes on, Robert Sykes. And Michael turns around, and he says in Robert's voice, "I don't want to be dead." And then he jumps off.
He jumps from, there's a not human element.
Yes.
He jumps. He leaps.
And it's just terrifying because it's night vision. Shit.
Yeah.
Ugh.
I was surprised, though, that for as much of it was supposed to be handheld, it wasn't shaky. Like, I didn't get motion sickness from it.
Yeah. That's a good point.
Because normally, like, Blair Witch and stuff just... Or, like, Cloverfield, I think, was another one.
Cloverfield's bad.
Yeah, I can't watch those.
Well, a lot of it, like, when Michael's at his house... a lot of it is just set up like room cameras, to room, like room to room cameras.
Yeah. And even though when like the person filming him is running, it's just like blurry. There's nothing to focus on.
Yeah.
I liked that about it, that it wasn't like, oh, I'm going to get sick and have to look away every 2 seconds.
Yeah, like it's a found footage movie without that shakiness, which I can appreciate because I too suffer from from a little bit of motion sickness. Now that all of those bits are done, when do you think was the time that he actually got possessed? Like within these like four things that he tried doing? Three things.
I don't know. I think probably the last thing that he did.
Yeah.
I have a feeling because he was acting like such a dick about it and like, come at me, like, come on, demons. That
yo, demons.
Hey, let's fight. I think that there was probably demons creeping around him.
For sure.
Because the one that he picked out of the book ended up being the one that possessed him.
Yeah. The hunger or whatever.
Yeah. And like later on when he goes back to those people, they're like, we just do it for fun.
We just do it for funsies. It's not so fun anymore.
No.
It's Michael not King. Fun. And then he ends up going to a medium like shortly after this. And he keeps just shit. Why do you keep doing this stuff?
Well, okay. So when he goes to see the medium, it's like like somebody that would have a book, she's set up at kind of like a mall.
It's like Sylvia Brown type thing, but
yeah,
not...
but like smaller scale.
Yeah.
Because there's what, like 20 people that are watching her. So she's like doing her medium thing, but it's like with a group of people. He doesn't go meet her one on one.
No.
Which makes it what happens scarier.
Yeah. So the woman is talking to this other woman. I can't remember the medium's name. But she's like, oh, she must have died from something in the esophagus, like she was strangled or whatever. And then all of a sudden, she kind of stops and is like, oh, there's... that was my dog chasing a cat.
That's kind of scared me.
That did. Oh, God.
Cooper, what are you doing?
He's the protector of this realm.
All right. So what
happened? So the medium's like, oh, there's a voice coming in. She's super loud. Like, and then she walks by Michael King. And
she's like, there's a woman. She died tragically, maybe suddenly. And she's explaining it as she's walking
and
towards
Michael
him.
Is sitting there, like, rolling
and
his
like
eyes.
And he's, laughing, rolling his eyes. Like, come on.
And then she walks past him and then immediately drops down. And I think it's Sam's voice.
Yes.
It's Sam's voice. And she's like, Michael, you need to. And immediately she falls over shaking.
Yeah. And has a seizure.
Yeah. And that even doesn't, like, it weirds him out. But it's not like, oh, was that Sam? I don't know. Fucking bullshit. Like, he just thinks it's all bullshit.
Yeah.
Even then.
So then... Oh, yeah. If a medium touches you and they have a seizure, that's
probably not a good thing.
No, that's not good.
And that's when Jordan kind of like leaves the project.
Yeah.
Like Jordan is sitting in the car with him and it's like, hey, do you really think Sam would want you to be doing this shit?
Because it starts getting like real for him.
Yeah. And Michael isn't sleeping well either at this by this point.
No.
Like,
and I wrote down because I thought he was being such a dick when she hands him the bowl and he's like, why would you hand me this fucking hot? Burn my hands. And it's a salad.
It's a salad. Like, why would that be burning? And his sister is like looking at him like, what the fuck is wrong with
you? Well, she knows that he's been like. Like spiraling, you know, like he's not doing well.
Well, and Beth, the sister, I think, thinks that it's just a mental break with like losing Sam.
Yeah.
For sure.
Which it is, because at one point they talk about how you're more susceptible to spirits.
When you're depressed and
sad. When you're depressed or there's like tragedy in your life.
Yeah.
You're like probably just emotionally weaker.
This movie, I said it. Is that five times? Are you counting?
Yeah.
So, in, what was it, Sleepaway Camp or
I don't know.
What was one? A previous one that we recorded, I say movie so many times. And when we started doing this podcast, when we were talking about doing it, Aaron said, I don't want us to say movie that much. Like,
because it gets repetitive. Like, that's what we're talking about.
Right.
So we really don't need to say movie.
Well, I'm breaking the mold.
Now
I
people
guess.
Are going to go back and like listen and count.
I know. They're going to have like tallies or something. Like our friends, the only people that listen to this, are going to go back and be like, yeah, dude, you said it like 25 times in one of the recordings.
In one of the recordings. We're not doing a movie.
I know.
What are we talking about now? Now I'm off
Salable.
Track.
Salable,
burning
super
hot. Salable.
There are a lot of jump scares in this.
Oh, thing. It was that. There's just a lot of jump scares.
There's a lot of jump scares. Okay. No. Well,
oh, that night is when he records like the funky screams, when he's just like screaming his head off and it's like weird sounds.
Yeah, he starts to definitely know that something is fucked up.
Yeah.
Like, big time.
He's not sleeping at all. I think around this time is when the dog disappears.
Yeah, the dog disappears. And he says that there's a cacophony of screaming and just a loud noise in his ear.
I thought it started out as static.
Mm.
It was like TV static and he couldn't get rid of it.
We later find out. At least, I don't know if they say it in the movie. Damn it. Fuck. I don't know if they say it, but we find out that it was angels blocking out the
sound.
They
must say it because I didn't read anything about it. I just watched it. And then, at some point, it's towards the end.
It's towards the end when shit really goes south and he's like drawing inverted pentagrams on his chest.
Yeah,
with a knife.
He kind of finds out that the static was blocking him from the voices. So it was potentially angels.
Yes. And then he did what the priest told him not to do. He starts listening to the noises. And, like, he goes to see a therapist, and the therapist is like, dude, I don't know what the fuck's wrong with you.
Oh, the dog disappears right before that.
Okay.
Because he visits his friend, and they play the recording of the weird scream. Of the weird voices.
Mm-hmm.
And his friend's like, okay, this is like the highest note a human's voice can make. And this is the lowest.
And he was at
and he's like way off the charts.
Yeah.
And what's his name?
It's just his friend that is like editing the footage or whatever.
Okay. Yeah. So he's like, a human voice didn't make this. And he's like, no, I recorded it. Like, that's me on there. So that's...
That was a creepy part.
Yeah. And then it's that night that he's like sleepwalking, whatever, creeping up to his kid's room, and the dog stops him, and the dog's barking at him, and then you don't see the dog again.
Oh, poor Fish.
Yeah, Fishbone, which is a really cute name for a dog.
It's adorable. Yeah. And that dog, super cute. He was like a white golden retriever.
He's like super pale golden retriever.
I love it.
Yeah, so then I wrote, therapist's office freaked me right out.
Yeah, he's laying there, and the therapist has, like, a strobe light, because the therapist just thinks he's having a mental breakdown because of the loss of his wife.
Well, a therapist isn't going to be like, oh, you're possessed by a demon.
No, but she's attributing all of the symptoms, like the not sleeping, the noises ringing in his ears, whatever, as just he's falling into a deep depression, whatever. Mm-hmm. So he's laying there on the bed or on the couch, and all of a sudden, like, he's not on the couch anymore.
Oh, my God. That was so scary.
He's not on the couch anymore, and the therapist is just like, what's happening? And there's a strobe light going on, and he winds up, like, right in the front of the camera.
Yeah.
Yeah, jump scare right in front of the camera, and then he, like, flings himself back, and the therapist is like, holy shit, Michael, like...
Yeah.
It's a shit show.
That scared me. That was, at that point, probably the scariest thing for me.
Yeah. The scariest scene for me, I think, in this was he goes outside at one point and, like, looks up to his bedroom. And this is during the daytime. And he sees something in the window staring back at him. And then it, like, walks away.
So what was in the hallway? Was that his sister running? So this was after the therapist's office. A bird flies into the window.
A dove flies into the window.
Yeah, and then when he goes down to look for it, it's already being eaten up by ants.
Yeah.
Which I thought was gross.
Yeah.
And then at one point there was, like, some sort of drama happening.
His sister thinks he's losing his shit, which is good.
He goes running down the stairs or running up the stairs. I don't know if his daughter's having, like, a nightmare or something. But then you, like, glance down the dark hallway and there's, like, something, like, climbing, kind of.
I don't remember that, but I'm going to have to
And I couldn't tell because there's just a flash of it. So I couldn't tell if it was, like, his
sister. A giant ant.
In a robe.
Mm.
Or if it was, like, something scary. Because I was, you know, taking notes.
And probably
I was,
something scary.
And I was crocheting at the same time,
too. Oh, good.
I was multitasking.
I always multitask during movies I know are scary. So, like, I can pay attention, kind of. But I have something to distract myself.
Yeah, so I had written something down. And then when I looked up, it's all capitals. The fuck was that thing in the hallway?
That's probably why you thought it was so scary, because you looked up and just, like,
glanced up. And just immediately saw something. Yeah, I didn't like that.
During this, too, his daughter keeps talking to him about this monster. This monster that comes to see her at night. And about, I would say, 20 minutes left or half an hour.
That's, like, right after the bird in the window.
Where she's just like, oh, the monster's you, daddy.
Yeah, right after the bird in the window, she, like, that wakes her up.
I just feel so bad for that kid.
Because she's been having nightmares about this monster, and he's trying to, like, be a good dad, and, like, oh, we'll
be
take
a good
care
dad.
Well,
I know.
Once again, he doesn't believe in.
Well, he fucking believes in it now.
Yeah.
Doesn't he? Yeah.
Well, yeah.
So once he figures out that he is being possessed, and I don't know what was the breaking point. Maybe when that thing happens with fish.
Because
he's like, oh, fuck.
He films, like, going into his sister's room.
Yeah, and that scene is a little creepy.
And then it has him, like, going into his daughter's room, but
not as creepy.
Just for, like, a second. And then he, like, freaks out and he goes back to everyone that tried to help him get possessed. And they're like, you need to fuck off.
Well, and he goes to where Father Gibbons was, and Father Gibbons died.
Yeah.
Like, a couple days
and
prior.
You have to think, too, that he's just, like, a fucking hot mess. He hasn't slept in weeks. He's all dirty. He's, like, running. He, like, forces his way in to, like, the demonology people.
And they're like, dude, it's all fake.
Yeah, like, we just like doing drugs and having sex on people.
Yeah, that's essentially, yeah.
It's, like, somehow thrilling.
And he goes to the...
He goes back to the necromancer, and he goes back to the therapist, and none of them will see him,
which makes me very sad.
Well, he asked for this, and he was probably weird about it to begin with,
and the necromancer straight up is like, dude, I told you that something like this could happen. I warned you. Like, everybody else is just like, yeah, whatever, like, you're stupid, we just do this for funsies. But the necromancer is just like, no.
Well, also, he barges into the funeral home.
Right.
When people are, like, shopping for caskets. And he's like, I need help. I need help. And the guy's like, you need to go the fuck away. Because this is my place of business.
Yeah.
You wanted to have teeth sewn to your tummy.
You wanted a demon
to half die. You wanted to be possessed by a demon. You got all those things.
Yeah.
Now go away.
And I think it's that night or something, like, Beth takes Ellie, his kid, to stay at, like, a friend's house.
That's the next morning. Because that's when they find the dog.
Yeah. And Beth thinks, like, that he did it.
Well, I mean, he did do
Yeah,
it.
But...
Well, I kind of forgot that part. So he... I mean, I forgot it from when I watched it the first time to the second time.
The dog's in Ellie's bed.
Yeah, the dog's in Ellie's bed, and she's got these, like, white, like,
filmy It's like a princess curtains. Bed.
Yeah, like a princess bed. And there's blood everywhere, and the sister sees it, and she's, like, screaming her head off, and he sees
I think she thinks that it's Ellie.
I thought it was Ellie. Right. It's her bed. Yeah. Like, where the frick is Ellie? Is she already awake?
And then Ellie, like, walks in. Yeah. But where was Ellie? Oh, probably sleeping with Beth.
Oh, yeah. Because everything is fucked up.
Because everything's weird. Yeah.
Yeah. That part was sad.
It was super sad. You don't.
And that's when Beth takes off with Ellie. She's like, fuck this. We're out of here. Which, rightfully.
Rightfully so. And that's when Michael goes down and he's just like, okay, like. I believe in you. Please leave me alone. And the demon's like, no.
That's when he says, why are you doing this? Because you fucking asked me.
Yeah. Like, yep. That's,
he's acting like this victim when this is what he was, what he wanted.
That's exactly what he wanted.
And he went to like multiple sources. He did everything he could to be possessed. And then once he's possessed, he's like, wait, I don't want to be possessed anymore. Wait, I don't
want to. Yeah. And this part is pretty scary because he has... like a night vision TV screen or something. Like it's like a green And he's like begging to just be left alone. And then you see his face and his face like turns to Michael sitting in the chair.
And it's all evil.
And the demon's just like laughing. Like the guy's like, no.
Tough fucker. Shit. We're having fun.
Yeah.
Okay. So that's when he hasn't slept in forever. So he handcuffs himself to the bed so that he doesn't go murder. At that point, hadn't he like carved shit all over his house and into his chest? And
he tries to do an exorcism himself.
Oh yeah, that doesn't work.
Which goes horribly wrong. Like he almost lights the house on fire. Like all of these things. I don't know. It just makes me sad. Well, it makes me really sad for him.
So he handcuffs himself to the bed and because he needs to sleep. Well,
and he doesn't want to be all murdery.
Yeah. Oh, he murders that. Doesn't he murder
a man? He murders a homeless guy.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. He murders the man sleeping in the street because he goes out and he's kind of like just like going to kill anybody he comes across.
Yeah.
And he just happens to find a sleeping homeless man. Because it kind of reminded me of a video game where you're like hiding in the dark. And, like, you need somebody to get close enough so that you can stab them or choke them or whatever you're going to do. Assassin's Creed. And they get kind of close, and then they're like, do-do-do, and wander off. And then you can't go after that person at that point. Like, they're just out of your reach.
It's like, nope.
Yeah. So you have to, like, wait there lurking. That's kind of what he did. And then he just happened upon this poor old guy.
Yeah.
And so that happens. And then is that when he handcuffs himself?
I want to say, and I just watched it last night, but I want to say this kills Mike, too, by the way, because I'll watch a movie the night before and Mike will be like, I can't believe that you just like can't remember what happens in the movie. And I'm like, it happens. Like, we're not going to remember all of the details.
Yeah, I watched it 2 days ago.
Yeah.
And my notes are just terrible because my notes aren't what's happening.
It's your reactions.
My reactions. So I can usually remember from my reactions what's going on. But yeah, he absolutely has to sleep. He's cut himself up. He's trashed his whole house. He's
like destroyed his house.
Yeah. The whole first floor of his house. There's like.
And there's shit like written on the walls in blood, I'm guessing.
I don't know. It probably his own blood.
Who knows? Yeah.
So he's in the bed. He's talking to himself. Well, he's arguing with the demon about sleeping. Well, then when he wakes up, he is no longer handcuffed. I don't know why. Emma was over when we were watching it. Ugh. And we both started laughing because there's blood arrows drawn in the direction that he had to go downstairs and watch the TV.
Yeah.
So he plays what was recorded, and his buddy shows up. And
oh,
he's like,
poor Jordan.
Hey, man, can I'm you uncuff me?
Yeah.
No.
No.
If your house is, like, if I came over here and your whole house was destroyed and there's, like.
And I'm, like, handcuffed to the bed.
Yeah. I'd be like, I'm calling the police.
I am calling, yeah.
Sorry.
That's okay. I don't want to be the reason that you're murdered if I'm possessed by a demon.
If Mike had to take the kids and, like, run and the whole house was trashed and you are just this hot mess, handcuffed somewhere. I'm not letting you go.
Oh, good.
You know why? Ditto. Because you will kill me and you will, like, stick me with knives into the ceiling.
Is that what happened?
I don't know because...
You don't get a look at what he looks like.
He goes into his daughter's room and it might have been on the top of her, like, princess bed.
I don't think so because the camera... So the way
camera's from the corner of her bedroom.
From the corner of her bedroom... The bed is on the right side, like, if you're looking, and the door is on the left side. So yeah. He has to be, like, stabbed. Maybe you're right.
All like, you stabbed see into the is wall. A hand fall down from above, and there's a knife through the hand.
Yeah.
So you don't know what happened to him, which kind of makes it scarier. Is he, yeah. like...
I like the not seeing stuff. Like yeah. the not being able to see the full thing.
Because my imagination is 1,000 times worse.
Yes.
Unless it's the face at the end of Sleepaway Camp.
God. I don't. That haunts my dreams.
Oh, it's so scary.
I just. And I go back and I, like, look at pictures of that. And
it's not the same.
It's not that bad in the pictures. But if you're watching it.
Yeah.
It's just.
Watching you stop and, like, think and was worth. All of me telling you.
Thank you. I'll never great. Say it again. That's a lie. But yeah, and he watches. There's a scene, I think it's after that. Maybe it's after he kills Beth. No, it's before he kills Beth. The scene where he's watching Sam's
mm-hmm.
video when she's in the hospital.
Yeah. So he's watching that.
It's just, like, gut-wrenching.
Well, what I want to know is, okay, so she got hit by a car. She's in the hospital bed. She has stitches. Mm-hmm. She's beat up a little bit, but she's still talking pretty clearly. She's not on, like, a ventilator or anything.
No, and so he's recording her, and she's just like, you know, I left once, and I can't remember if she says it's beautiful or whatever, but...
She talks about the fact that she had died briefly.
Yeah.
And there is something on the other side.
And she tells him that she had to come back to tell him, and the next time she goes, like, she's going to be gone for good.
Mm.
And it's just... I felt so heartbroken for him. And I know that, like, he did this to himself and whatever, but it's still sad. Like, the whole story is sad. That
yeah, they're still dead.
They're still dead. Like, shit.
So, at that point...
Had he tried to, like, swallow a ton of pills and, like, kill himself with a curling iron or something?
He tried to take a bunch of pills, and the demon made him throw them up. He tried to slit his wrists. And he, like, couldn't force his arm to get the blade, like, yeah. to his wrist. And then he tries to throw a plugged-in hairdryer in the bathtub with him.
Yeah.
And none of this works.
The no.
demon doesn't let him
because
die.
The demon, going back to my notes, is a tortured until madness demon.
Which is exactly what's
Which
happening.
Which is exactly what's happening.
So then mm-hmm. Beth and the daughter show up. Which I thought was not cool because
no.
she... And it was because he hadn't been answering the phone, right?
Yeah.
Was essentially it.
Yeah.
Well, there's this thing that you can do where you call the police.
You can do a health and wellness check.
And you can have a wellness check done mm-hmm. and the police can go in.
But then it would have been like any other stupid possession movie where they send two police officers, they get murdered, and then like... 2 weeks go by or something.
Yeah.
Like, just silly things.
Well, okay, so he the daughter goes like running right up to her room or whatever.
Yeah. In a closet, in their closet, like Sam and Michael's closet.
Okay. Which is pretty cool because it's
a pretty sweet closet. Well, yeah.
It's like the really like old houses, like the Victorian style houses have like not a turret, but they have like a round.
It's like a, yeah.
A round, I don't know what that's called.
Mike, what is that called? The round thing on houses that we really like.
It's like a round room.
But it's not a turret. It's like the house next door has.
Right. Yeah.
It's beside the point.
Anyway, yeah. That is their like beautiful walk-in closet. Oh,
it's gorgeous. And it has like a nice vanity and
yeah,
stuff.
Yeah, a little vanity table. Anyway, the daughter hides in there. He basically like force chokes her. Not the daughter.
Beth.
Mm-hmm.
He does,
too. He just grabs her by the throat, lifts her up, like, 2 feet into the air, and breaks her neck.
Yeah.
Like, total superhuman Darth Vader shit.
Yeah. Does Darth Vader actually, like, grab people by the neck, or does
he force
choke
them? No, he
does it
with the force, but, like, it's the same.
It's the same concept. Yeah.
That's the style. But demons apparently have to use their hands. They can't use the force.
They can't just look at you.
Yeah. So he just, like, disposes of her so quickly. Ugh. Like.
I just.
Yeah. So then he goes up and he's going to kill the daughter, too.
Yeah. And then he goes to get her. Like, he finds her in the closet or whatever. He goes to get her and he looks at the vanity. And there's a quarter spinning on the vanity, which is the same quarter that Sam had when she died. And he, like, carries it throughout the movie.
Before you get to, like, the end, the part that you're going to tell, like, right now reminds me of in 28 Days Later. With when the dad gets blood in his eye.
Yes. Oh, gosh.
I know. But that's exactly that scene because he's like
he has battling. 1 minute of like, oh, shit, what am I doing? And that's the minute he uses to
jump out the window.
Yeah.
And kill himself.
And he looks in the mirror and it's Sam's voice talking. And Sam says something like, Michael, you have to do it now or something.
Yeah, like now's your chance kind of thing.
And so he jumps out the window.
But yeah, that part reminded me of 28 Days Later when he's like starting to lose it. And his daughter comes up to him and is like, what?
Are you okay? I love
that
movie.
Are you okay? And he's like, get away from me. Get away from me. And that's exactly how the dad was and how Michael was with his daughter in this. Like, you go away, go away. And jumps out the window.
Yeah. So he jumps out the window, and we didn't even talk about the obnoxious amount of ants that start to inhabit.
Ants everywhere. He has an ant that, like, crawls on him. He takes it off, kills it.
And then there are just more ants that show up. But it's because of that demon is, like, the breeder of ants. And when he's laying on the sidewalk, and you only get, like, a close-up shot of his face because he wears, like, a neck camera.
Mm-hmm.
When he starts to know he's possessed, he starts wearing a neck camera, like, all the time. And you see an ant crawl out of his eye. And it's just awful.
His daughter. I mean, what's...
What's going to happen with her?
Yeah.
She's going to wind up living with Aunt Martha in sleepaway camp and have to have to be a boy.
Well, we already have one girl. We can't have two. Who knows? But that was... Yeah, the end of it was so sad. Mm-hmm. And it was genuinely scary.
Like, do you think that Michael deserved what he got?
You're all about deserving.
I know, but
I can't say what people deserve or don't deserve. Because...
I don't think so.
I don't think that way. I don't know.
I do.
Oh, they're getting what they deserve.
Burn them all.
What happens when something bad happens to a good person?
I know. We're getting too philosophical for this.
Well, I mean...
But do you think that he, like, should have went through all that shit by summoning a demon, trying to summon a demon, multiple times.
He asked for it.
Yeah.
Agreed. I mean, do I think that he deserved all of the,
all of the bad, icky stuff?
Killing his sister, killing a homeless man, killing his friend, killing a dog.
There wouldn't be a movie
if everyone was sensible and said, I'm not going to summon a demon today.
If the demon was like, sure, dude, I'll leave you alone. You told me to.
Oh, you don't want me to possess you anymore. Okay, bye.
Okay, bye. but yeah, this movie, I watched it the first time probably 5 or 6 years ago, and it has stuck with me ever since. It's made me question things that I didn't think that I would question either. So if you watch this movie, you'll know what I'm talking about. I said it. It's 10 times now.
I haven't been keeping track, but I definitely know it's over 10.
That's fine.
I also wrote, it would be kind of cool if there was another one.
Yeah.
I feel like there could be more of these.
There could be. I mean, look at Paranormal Activity. Mm-hmm. There are like 5 of those.
Or like how they just ran with like the Conjuring series, you know? There's so many like offshoots of that. I feel like this is one that they totally could do something like that with. I mean, the daughter grown up would be cool. Like maybe not knowing what happened to her dad or...
For sure.
That'd be like a cool...
Yeah. I think, too, like, going back to the cacophony of sounds, I think that it was Sam trying to...
You think so?
...communicate with him, yeah.
Like, blocking it?
Yeah. Or trying her best to...
Yeah.
...from beyond, but...
Yeah, I guess I didn't think about that. That's, like, a different aspect. So what are we...
I think...
Okay, so
well,
what...
Well, that wraps up that one.
Yeah, what are we doing next?
I can't remember what you had said. You had said something about the curse...
Well, I want to do the curse. The problem is that there's nowhere online to get it.
Yeah.
So I guess it's cool if you've seen it. What do you think?
I've never seen it before, but I think it would be a good one to do.
I mean, I have it on DVD.
Oh, well... But there's no way for, like, other people to
see
it.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. Like, I can loan it to you, fine, but...
Right. I think that it is left up to the listener to...
If they want to hunt it down.
If they want to hunt it down and watch it after they listen to it.
Okay.
To us talk about it.
So the next one that we do will be The Curse. I can't remember what year it came out. I want to say, like, 1987, 1988. And it's got Will Wheaton in it as a little boy.
It's already wonderful.
Oh, I watched it.
It's not so wonderful.
There's a lot to talk about. Oh,
I can't wait. All right.
All right.
So
The
Curse, yeah. We'll be next.
All right. Talk to you guys later.
Okay, bye.
Bye.